opportunity to join together and to offer praise and worship to the God who has saved us. I appreciate Harper leading the song that I requested him to lead right before the lesson. Are you pressing on to higher ground? That's what I would like to ask of this morning. Are you seeking greater things? To be a Christian is to have chosen a path where we are actively seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness. We are in a faith which involves a constant pursuit of a deeper knowledge and a closer relationship with God. Throughout this year, we've been studying an example of zeal each month. And this month, our example will be the Apostle Paul. I don't know if there's really a greater example, especially in the New Testament, of the followers of Jesus Christ than Paul, who demonstrated a passion and a zeal for the Lord. And so there are multiple ways that we could look at the Apostle Paul and we could consider his zeal. But what I would like to ask this morning is, what fueled Paul? What drove him to be so zealous? You know, you think about successful people in our society. When a successful person writes a book that reveals how they did it, a lot of people will buy it. They want to know. They want to understand, how can I achieve the level of excellence that some person achieved in some field or in some endeavor? And I would say in the book of Philippians, we have Paul revealing what his mindset was. Again, what fueled his zeal. How Paul was able to reach higher ground. Well, what fueled Paul? It was his acute awareness of the value in knowing Jesus. Paul lived his life and developed a good sense of value. And he recognized that there are a lot of things that people may put their pride in. And as he considered what people might put their pride in, he compared it to knowing Jesus Christ. And what he concluded was, knowing Jesus far surpassed any other pursuit, any other endeavor. And in understanding this, Paul would zealously press on to know Jesus Christ. Paul had a zeal to pursue greater, higher ground. Well, let's turn, if your Bibles aren't already opened, to Philippians chapter 3. And I'd like to begin by pointing out that Paul was able to see the vanity of the flesh. He was able to see the temporary nature of the flesh. He was able to see how the flesh did not profit. We could maybe state it this way. Paul recognized that there was low ground. There were values that men embraced that really didn't lead you to anywhere of significance. They didn't really benefit you deeper than the temporary, deeper than the here and now. It only benefited the flesh. There was low ground. Read with me verses 2 through 6. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law found blameless. And so Paul is speaking of the fleshly values that so often blind us from seeking higher ground. Again, there's low ground, and there is a force or influence on that low ground that challenges us in every stage of life. And Paul wants us to see it for what it is. In verse 2, three times he says, beware. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. What he is warning them about is, beware of the groups of people who espouse such values that they will ultimately keep you on the low ground. They will keep you from pressing on to better, higher things. And this is a real struggle for God's people. spiritual values are hard to see because they aren't immediately apparent. You can't see them immediately. And we are, again, in a world where the low ground is celebrated and it is often confused for the high ground. Truth is turned upside down and twisted. And so here we are, living in a world that is materialistically blessed, that is technologically advanced, where there is so much within our immediate reach that it becomes difficult to actually see the higher ground that God has called us to press on towards. In verse 3, he notes that this is not the mentality of Christians. We are to not be grounded in that sense. We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. This is the mentality that we develop. We see through what the dogs, evil workers, and circumcision celebrate. We see it for what it is. We don't put our confidence in those fleshly values. Instead, we set our minds and worship in the Spirit and glory of Jesus Christ. We don't place our confidence on the lower ground. We place our confidence on the higher ground that belongs to Jesus Christ. And so, understand, there is lower ground, and we are surrounded and inundated by those who put their confidence in the lower ground. Now, Paul points out that he could play that game too. Paul could have confidence in the flesh. That's what he says in verse 4. In fact, Paul could boast well on the lower ground. And I don't think this is just a matter of Paul being sort of a big fish in a small pond. No. Paul had achieved more than all of his fellow countrymen. He had excelled far more in the pursuits of the flesh than his contemporaries. If there is something that they would put their pride in, Paul had it. If there is something that would be sort of a symbol of how zealous you are, well, Paul surpassed them all. In fact, he says, I had the type of zeal for my faith that I even persecuted the church. And what Paul is saying is, I was an example of zeal. I pushed hard to be first on the low ground. And that was Paul's drive. He could sit there with everyone on the low ground and say, I've achieved more than you. Sometimes when reading Philippians chapter 3, it interests me what they place their confidence in. They had a list. They had a list that was important to them. But do you know every generation has its own list? To Paul's culture and to Paul's generation, it was things like circumcision on the eighth day mattered. What tribe you were born in mattered. A deep knowledge of the law of Moses mattered. And I would say most on Paul's list would not impress most of us today. It doesn't matter to us in the same way. Yet we have areas of flesh where people put confidence on, and we turn our attention to those things, and we place a value on those things that, again, endangers us from pressing on to greater things. Maybe it's as simple as the speed and battery life of a device you carry in your pocket. You know, do people put their pride in those sort of things? They certainly do. Do people put their pride in how many Instagram followers they have? Yes, as simple and contrite as it may be, people put their pride in those sort of things. People put their pride in sports, in money, education, experiences, all sorts of areas of life where we see that when this is present, everything else stops. And there's religious pride. It may be pedigree. It may be where you come from, your family. It may be a degree that one might have. It may be the religious experience or religious emotionalism, which so many people are seeking. And it may just be self-righteousness. We live in a society where many do not see themselves as in need of divine guidance. We dress it differently today than Paul's generation. But understand, it is the same problem. It is a confidence in the flesh. It is a satisfaction in the low ground. Confidence in the flesh, again, will keep our feet on the ground when there are higher things that God has for us. So what Paul did on the low ground is he left it behind. Paul counted it as loss so that he could reach higher. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 8, Paul writes, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." So Paul looked up and let go. All of the things that people would have said were gain, again, the areas where we should place our confidence, the appealing and valuable aspects of the flesh as people celebrated them, all the things that Paul was supposed to hold on to, he let go of. He let go of the very thing that his contemporaries would have said, "Paul, you need to hold on to that. Don't let go of your position." But Paul was able to look back and say, "What good has this really done me?" And he determined to count those things lost. Because you can't hold on to those things and at the same time achieve higher ground. And so Paul gave it up. He treated those things as if they were no longer his. They no longer concerned him. They no longer carried the same value that he once saw them as carrying. Paul had a value balance. And on that balance, he placed knowing Jesus Christ on the scale, and it outweighed every other pursuit that he had ever considered. You know, wouldn't it be nice to have a scale that measured how much something mattered? I would like to have one of those. You know, is this a good use of my time? You know, place it on the scale. Nope. Your time's worth more than that. Is this something I should be upset about? Nope. It shouldn't concern you very much. You know, is this something that's important? Yes, I better be involved. I wish I had a value scale. Well, Paul had one of those. And the value was clear in his eyes. Knowing Jesus Christ was worth suffering the loss of all things. He says, "I counted the things that were gained as loss," in verse 7. And then he says in verse 8, "More than that, I count all things to be loss." So his recognition of the value of Jesus Christ caused him to recognize that again, all that he might put his pride in, all that he might place his confidence in, needed to be given up. "Tonight when I get home, I will go inside and I will gather a bunch of items in different little cans in different rooms. I will put them all in a bag or two. I will take them in a container and I will push that container to the side of the road." And maybe some of you will be doing that too. You might have a different garbage day, but those are things that you know, they're no longer a part of your life. They're useless to you now. And that's sort of what Paul did with the areas of pride. He counted them as rubbish or refuse. This is garbage. This is worthless. Success that people celebrated. Pride, possessions. He considered them rubbish next to the value of gaining Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. In verses 9 through 11, he gives kind of a summary, again, of the higher ground that motivated this great change. I may be found and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So here was the higher ground Paul was seeking. It was a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. It was, an opportunity to know him, that being Jesus Christ. It was an opportunity to know and experience the power of his resurrection. And it was a willingness to fellowship and share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Okay, when you look what Paul exchanged his prior list for, especially the fourth one, that one, well, why would you exchange what people put their pride in for suffering? Because Paul understood that was all part of the higher ground package. Those were all part of worshiping God in the spirit and glory of Christ Jesus. And so Paul counted it lost so that he could reach higher. Let's read verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so once you realize there's lower ground, and once you begin to see and get a taste for the higher ground, you give it all that you got. Paul now models the attitude of a zeal for higher things. Now, verse 12, Paul points out, you know, I may have left a lot behind. You know, I counted a lot of things lost, but I haven't obtained it yet. You know, I could look back in the distance, I can see on the lower ground all the things that are left behind, but I want you to understand, I still have further to go. I still have more to obtain. I still have a course to complete. There is more that I can do. There is higher ground to reach. In fact, Paul points out that he was saved for this very purpose. Notice verse 12 again. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And so here's kind of the image. Jesus had laid his hold on Paul in order to lift Paul up to higher ground, in order to give Paul the opportunity to grab hold of higher things, set his feet on higher ground. And so what Paul is doing is he is pressing on to the very goal, to the very end that Jesus saved him to press on towards. And the more Paul pressed, the more Paul sought higher ground, the more he was transformed. And this is God's plan for us. God has a plan for each of us. God has grabbed hold of us through Jesus Christ in order for us to reach higher and develop the mind of Christ, know Christ, understand the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And God wants us to see this higher ground as something that we need to be in a constant pursuit of. Again, the Lord doesn't save us just to make a few minor life changes. The Lord doesn't save us to become a little bit better of a person. No, the Lord changes us to make us new. Again, to transform us inside and out, to continue seeking higher ground. Do I want what God wants for me? Do I understand what God has saved me for? Do I understand what God wants to create in me? Well, in order to seek higher ground, I must forget what lies behind. Paul says again in verse 13, Brethren, I do not regard as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Paul had to forget what lies behind. And the reason Paul needed to forget what lay behind was because it's hard to press on if you're trying to look behind. You know, it just doesn't work. It's sort of, again, like pushing the plow, looking behind you. You're not going to plow very well. You're not going to plow very straight. And so if you're constantly looking over your shoulder into the past, your inability to press on, you will have an inability to press on. We must learn to forget what lies behind. Now, this does not mean we don't learn from the past. We certainly do learn from history. It does not mean we don't remember good examples that we had seen. It doesn't mean that we forget people who mattered and still matter to us. But what it does mean is yesterday's successes or failures, whatever they might be, we leave them behind. Paul did not spend all his time boasting on past spiritual achievements. To Paul, it did not matter what good he had done yesterday, he still had further to go. He still had good to do today. Paul understood that if he patted himself on the back, he could not at the same time reach forward. How bad it is when one believes they have arrived before they're there. Don't celebrate yesterday's successes. Forget what lies behind. But Paul also did not throw his hands up in despair. Paul, who describes himself to Timothy as the chief of sinners, Paul, who was a violent aggressor and blasphemer of Christ, could have easily seen his past shortcomings as reasons for not further developing. You see, Paul could have said, well, you know, I'm not Jesus, and I'm never going to be Jesus. I've sinned and fallen short in ways that are irreparable. And so he could have looked back in despair, and that too would have kept him from moving forward. If you're dwelling on the past, whether achievements or shortcomings, you're not going to press forward. Yesterday's good or bad does not change your responsibility and the need to press on today. We must forget what lies behind. And in forgetting what lies behind, we are to reach forward to what lies ahead. Again, when I read this, I can't help but thinking of a sprinter running a race. And, you know, to the sprinter, they're thinking every which way, how can I shave off just a tenth of a second on my time? And when they're getting to the end of the race, you see them stretching forward, trying to be first to the line. And again, there's a sense in which that is what we are doing. We are reaching forward. We see the goal. We know where the goal is. And we're pressing on to that higher ground. Paul says in verse 14 that this is the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so again, this is the prize, this is the goal. It is best summarized as what belongs in Christ. That's the key word, I believe, in verse 14 that describes the goal, describes what we're pressing on to. We have been called to press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Back in chapter 2, verse 5, Paul writes, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Or your translation may say, "Have this mindset." Have this mindset. That is the call that we have. In chapter 3, verse 9, and once again he says, "I want to be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. You see, Paul wants the mind of Christ. He wants the righteousness that comes on the basis of faith in Christ. This is what Paul was daily pressing on towards. This is part of that higher ground that we are called to pursue. I want to be found in Him. We need to be more Christ-like. We need to learn what the will of the Father is and walk in it. This is what we are called to. This is the higher ground that we are beginning to even achieve now as we are faithful Christians. Are we pressing on towards that goal? And of course, the higher ground ends with our glory in heaven. And until we're there, we press on. Verse 20 and 21, we read again of the final higher ground, the final destination. We read, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform in the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has Himself to subject, that He has even to subject all things to Himself." So this is the goal, the upward prize. Today I'm going to become more like Christ. I'm going to develop the mind of Christ. And one day glory will come at my final destination when by the very power that Jesus was resurrected Himself, our bodies will be resurrected and changed. Pursue the mind of Christ. Pursue the higher ground until your feet are standing with Christ on that higher ground. That is the example of zeal that we have from Paul. One who reached for the prize. Well, what is your prize? What are you seeking? Where do you place your confidence in? We need to be content, but never satisfied. We need to be the type of people who are pursuing the ideal. This is what Paul did with his life. He was constantly asking himself, "Where am I deficient? What am I holding back? What is keeping me lower?" And when he identified what those things were, he would reach upwards with a zeal that pressed on to the upward call of God. You don't end up on higher ground accidentally. You end up on higher ground when you pursue it with zeal. Well, are you a Christian this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? We'd like to invite you, if you have yet to obey the gospel, to begin your journey this very morning. You can obey the gospel and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you can be born again. And you can begin your journey from the low ground of the flesh to the higher, true ground, the spiritual ground.